Good evening. A little daunting to give a shiur tonight. Parshas Yisrael, Parshas Matan Torah. And the scariest thing about giving the shiur tonight is knowing that I told you guys that we're going to always talk about Chesed for a while. And here comes Matan Torah. Like, how do you not talk about Matan Torah? How do you not talk about it? So it's the Dibrei. So my son came home last Shabbos with a question from his Rebbe, Rabbi Geller of New Yeshiva. And he had a question for the whole family. Food for thought. Your friend gives you an ice cream. You guys, they acted out right now. Your friend passes you an ice cream. And you're so touched, you're so happy, it's so nice of him, he's giving you an ice cream. My son's in third grade. Question was, who do you say thank you to first? Do you make a bracha to Hashem for making such delicious ice cream? Or do you thank your friend? So my son came home and his eyes were glinting. He was like, I know what you're going to say, Tati. Make the bracha because everything's from Hashem. And I just had to break his heart. And obviously that's what he guessed in class or whatever it was. And I said, that's true. But the same Hashem who made the whole world and who made the ice cream. And Hashem's more special than your friend. You're right, Hashem is more special. But the Hashem who's more special said to first thank your friend. Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah. Even before Matan Torah, there's Derech Eretz. So I won't feel that terribly guilty speaking a little more about Beidonim L'Chaveirois and Chesed, and we hope to at least bring it from the Parsha as well. It's well known and it's spoken about time and again that the parasha is called Yisroi. And this is the parasha Matan Torah, and who's it named after? A Shver, a Ger. And it's not even so posh that he came before Matan Torah. It's very not clear, Rashi goes into, and all the Mepharshim go into exactly when did Yisroi come, before or after. So it's amazingly interesting that the Torah decides to name the parasha that discusses Matan Torah, Parashas Yisroi. And it's obvious, everybody says this, it's obvious that the Torah, whether Yisroi came before Matan Torah or not, the Torah gives you an introduction to Matan Torah with the story of Yisroi. That's clear. And if anything, it stands out even more so if Yisroi did not come before Matan Torah. The Torah took this parasha out of order, put Yisroi in before Matan Torah, obviously, to deliver a very strong message home. And of course, every single darshan says there's a different message. So, we'll attempt to say what I feel might be the message over here in the Torah. Rabbi Yerucham speaks about Vayishma Yisroi, the meaning of Shmia, listening. The grand opening, the first step in acceptance of Torah, somebody has to be ready to listen, to accept, to hear, to learn new things. Shmia. And many, many different drushes. I wanted to bring out one aspect over here. Yisroi comes and he sends a message ahead of himself and his family that he's coming to greet, join Klal Yisrael, see what's going on, check out what happened with the Yidden. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went out to greet Yisrael. Vayetze Moshe likrois chosnoi, yet Moshe Rabbeinu went out to greet his father-in-law. Vayishtachu vayishakloi, and he bowed down to his father-in-law, and he kissed his father-in-law. Vayishalu ishle reyeyu l'shalim, and each one asked each other how they're doing. And he brought him home. Moshe Rabbeinu went on to make a great grand seuda. And Moshe, the Rashi says, "Vayetzi Moshe," and Moshe Rabbeinu went out to greet Yisrael. Seems like a very simple pasuk. Zok Rashi. Kovoyd gadol neskabed Yisrael v'ois l'shal. It's a tremendous honor that was granted Yisrael at that time. Kivon sheyatzam Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu left Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu we know is a busy man. He was not going to leave Klal Yisrael just to pick up his cell phone. He was busy day and night sitting and being down Klal Yisrael. This is before they set up Bat Edinim. This is before they were judges for the rest of Klal Yisrael. He had 600,000 men between 20 and 50 plus the rest of their families. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one guy, what they call the go-to man. He was it. And he was busy from morning to night. And suddenly he gets this little letter. And he closes shop, and he leaves his bezdin, and he goes out, and he chutz l'machane, a nice few mile walk, out of the Tchum Shabbos, and he leaves the Gantz Machane Yisrael. And what do you expect? He's going to leave alone? Hey, Moshe Rabbeinu's out of bezdin. This is Aaron's day. Aaron goes, he follows Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron's leaving. All the Aaron's kids are leaving. Everybody sees Aaron's sons leaving. The rest of the family, every single person. Until the Gans Klal Yisrael. You had millions of people getting up and going to see where Moshe Rabbeinu is going. This is a sight to see. You know, you think the great Levayas that we've been to, you thought that was a mass of people. You think that was a cover? It was nothing. It's about millions of people. Kivon sheyotza Moshe yotza Aaron Nadav Vaviu. And who on earth can see these people leaving their encampment, traveling out, going out to greet someone, and the rest of the people are going to sit around and watch? Everybody got up. So here's Yisrael, a guy becoming a ger, possibly becoming a ger, with his daughter, his 8 o'clock, you know, on a donkey, a couple of some luggage. And suddenly he's greeted by you know, something that dwarfs the Macy's parade. It's unbelievable. With Moshe Rabbeinu at the helm. Moshe Rabbeinu bows down to him. Moshe Rabbeinu kisses him. He asks him how he's doing. And then they make a feast. Not only is it a feast, the Medrash brings down, and Rashi brings it down, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the waiter. At this feast, Moshe Rabbeinu himself got up and he was offering the drinks and he was offering the food, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself was bending over backwards to Yisrael. Okay. Vayimi Machras, it's the next day, party's over. Vayeshev Moshe Lishbar Yisam, back to business, 9 to 5, alright, 6 to 8, whatever it was, the whole day. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to Bezdin, and Yisrael comes to watch the going on. And comes along the Shver, not the Shviger. He got the Shver, and he butts into Moshe Rabbeinu's business. And he sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is there from morning to night. And he sees that Klal Yisrael is there from morning to night. And he says, Novel Tivoil, Gamata Gamaam, you're going to wear yourself thin. You're going to wear yourself out, Moshe Rabbeinu. Let alone Yisrael, the father-in-law, hasn't seen his son-in-law all these years. It's been a while since he's seen Moshe Rabbeinu. He hasn't seen Moshe Rabbeinu become the superhero of Klal Yisrael and split the sea and take everybody out. And he looks at him like a simple human being. All right, you're a great leader, I understand. Hey, let you take my daughter. I'm not going to give my daughter just to anybody. You're a great guy, but you're going to wear yourself out. And he starts giving Moshe Rabbeinu mussar. Yechav, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He brought the 10 makas to Klal Yisrael. He brought up Yosef's Aron up from the river. He brings Klal Yisrael across the Kriyas Yamsuf. He's sitting there davening to Hashem. Klal Yisrael weakens Amalek. He brings down the man. He brings the water from the rack. And comes along the Shver. He says, my Meishel, you're taking your vitamins. What are you eating for breakfast? You can't handle such hours. Maybe he asks for some time off, take a little vacation with the wife and family. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to look at him like he's nuts. Are you crazy? No. So, Yisrael, I'm concerned about you. Concerned you're going to wither out. Shema b'koyli, listen to my voice. Iyatzcha, let me give you some good advice. I know you don't have any good advice. God talks to you every day, but you need some good, you know, advice from the good old Shver. He gives him his advice. And what do we find in the pasuk? Vayishma Moshe l'kol choisnei. Moshe Rabbeinu listened to the voice of his father-in-law. Vayaskol asher amar. He did everything precisely and exactly as his Shver said. Didn't change it, didn't adjust it, didn't improve it, didn't tweak it, nothing. Very similar to what we find by the Vayishma Avram Lekil Sarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, I know you don't approve of what Sarah is telling you to get rid of Yishmael, but listen to her, she knows what she's talking about. Oh, the Eibishter said to listen to Sarah, Vayishma Avram Lekil Sarah, the voice that came out of Sarah, without judging it and figuring out right, wrong, do it wholehearted, half-hearted, Sarah says, I do. Ooh, the Shverot gesagt? Oh, I do. I'm not going to add any commentary. I'm not going to adjust it at all. L'koil chaisnai, the voice of his Shver, and he listens. And Moshe Rabbeinu went, and he selected Dayanim, and he set up a Beis Din. End of story. Vayishlach Moshe es chaisnai, v'yilach lo yilatzi. Yisro went back to get the rest of his family to be Magaya then. He went back to Midian. End of story. Act 2. Close the curtains. Open the curtains. Maimon HaSinai. Eibishter tells Moshe Rabbeinu, 6 days, 5 days of preparation. Moshe Rabbeinu went and added an extra day of preparation. This we spoke about once in the past. How was Moshe Rabbeinu able to add a day and delay Matan Torah, the day that the whole world was waiting for? And Rashi says that the purpose was to make sure that the women can attend Matan Torah, the Tahira. It was a cheshbon, for 3 days there would be Tumah. He wanted the women to attend Matan Torah, the Tahira. And then we have Matan Torah. So, what I was thinking about over here is that the Torah is informing us that there's something that has to come before Matan Torah. And that is an awareness of Kavod. Kavod. We spoke about Kavod at Torah plenty in the past, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He delayed Torah, because Kavod at Torah is other than Torah. He delayed Matan Torah in order that the women should be tahor for Matan Torah. There's a tremendous Kavod at Torah that it should be done the Tahira. Eibishter said, I'm ready to give it. The women don't have to be tahor for Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll be more bakavadik. Let it wait one more day. But that was only a branch and an outcome out of the parsha that we have right before. And that is when this unbelievable, tremendous expression of kavod to a simple, I mean, I don't call him simple, he was Kohen Midian. Vice says he was a pretty popular and powerful person originally. Yes, right. He was a great man. And he left everything to become a Yid. But in context, you think about it, you have Gans Klai Yisrael sitting there. Chashuvim, Tzadikim, Nevi'im, Oz Yashir, they just finished. And Moshe Rabbeinu drops everything and affords the most unbelievable covet possible. All of Klai Yisrael parades after him. To his Shver. And he's a Ger. And he comes and he starts making some. I see the Shver's over here. I'm freaking up. Yeah, I'm about to tell the Edoms. And it's unbelievable what he's doing. And he goes and he gives him advice, and Moshe Rabbeinu accepts it as is, no comments. Before we get Torah, there's an introduction to it, and that is, we have to have a sense of kavod. You talk about kavod in America, and people look at you like you're standing upside down. What's kavod? Kavod? It's almost unheard of. This is the land that's the kiyum of the last Mishnah in Saita, that says that all the zakenim are going to be respecting and getting up for the youngsters. The famous Meisur of Rabbi Akiva Eger, who was walking in a park. I forgot who he was walking with, another gadol, and they're walking in a park, and they saw two young yeshiva bachrim sitting on a park bench smoking. And as they walked by, they noticed the yeshiva bachrim kept on sitting there smoking. And yet the two gedoyle hadar were passing by, and the two bachrim weren't even goyris. The gedoyle didn't stand up, nothing, kept on schmoozing with the cigarette, nothing. So the gadol, the second person, turned to Rabbi Akiva Eiger after they passed by, and he says, "Ah, Mashiach vetchen kumim. Mashiach is coming soon, because it says in the Mishnah in Saita that when there's going to be chutzpah yazga, there's going to be great chutzpah. Ah, then it's ikvus of the Mashiach." And Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, "Mashiach's not yet. You know, chutzpah yazga is going to be when we're going to be sitting on a park bench talking and learning." And there's going to be two bachrim walking by smoking cigarettes. And they're going to say, "No, stay off, I need my seat." Ah, that's what it's going to be like in the ikvus of the Mashiach. We're getting there. In America, we're definitely getting there. America is a society in which the entire society lives for the children. It's nice. It's nice on one hand. It's nice. The children, the future, the children, everything with the children. It's a beautiful thing. But there's a tremendous lack of covet and a lack of respect which is due to the elderly. And that's missing in America. But we're not going to talk about covet HaTorah. What I'd like to talk about is covet Chavir. Why should I respect my friend? Today I was in Beis Medrash, and a certain person who I regard as much greater than I walked in, and he walked by me, and I stood up, and somebody on the table next to me looked at me like I was crazy. He said, "Why do you stand up?" I said, "He knows a lot more than me. Stand up then." He says, "So? He knows a lot more than you? So?" I said, "Kavod chacham, you stand up." It was like a joke. And Lamaisa, the truth is, and let's say he doesn't know more than me. It's such a terrible thing to stand up for somebody. Show a little covet. It's unimaginable. We have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that la'olam a person yehei kvaid talmidcha chaviv alecha kishalach. The kavod, the honor, the respect of your student should be as beloved and cherished to you as your own. The kvaid chavercha kimoira rabach. You should respect your friend like the awe that you have for your Rebbe. And the awe of your Rebbe should be Kemoyer Shemayim. Shrek to Rabbi Ruchim Levavitz, what's pshat in this upgrading system over here? You got 3 miles, they bump you up to the better seats. Your Talmud should be like your friend, and your friend should be like your Rebbe. It sounds like a nice thing to, for the kids to come home with and make some drawing about, I don't know. What's pshat in this? Every single person is a lot better than you think. And if you give him an upgrade, if you give him that upgrade, maybe then you're respecting him accordingly. Maybe. But everyone deserves more respect than meets the eye. If Akiva Eiger once, when he gave his ksavim, his letters, his tshuvas, to eventually become printed. So he sent them to his son, Shlaim Eiger, to chreis, to edit, and look them over. He had given it to like a professional printer to start working through them. And then like to double check, he gave it to his son. And he wrote in a letter to his son an interesting thing. He said as follows: "I'm sure you'll notice that in the headings of my letters, many times I'll be referencing to the person who sent me the letter as Kvoy Talmidi, whatever, some nice flowery lashon that you're my Talmud so and so. Please erase the word Talmud from all the letters, because I did not write that. The printer put it in." What's pshat? The printer knew Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he knew who Rabbi Akiva Eiger's big Talmidim were. So the printer thought it appropriate, to add in the heading of the letters, that this person was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So for all future generations, we should be aware who's writing the shaila and getting the tshuva. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, "Erase it, because I never wrote Talmud." Why didn't I ever write Talmud? because I never really know who it is that truly learned more from the other. Many of my Talmidim, I feel I've learned more from them than they have learned from me. And it would be completely inappropriate for me to refer to them as my Talmud. Guarantee you there was no Talmud that could come to his toenail. But I'm concerned. How can I write an expression of Talmud when perhaps I've learned more from him than he's learned from me? That's the key of the Mishnah. Kvoid Talmidcha Choviv Alecha Kishalach. We don't feel it. So I figured we have to delve into a little what it is about Kavod, why it's so hard to give Kavod. It's very hard to put your finger on Kavod because it's so varied. The Gemara tells the story of one of the Amirayim whose mother would come and put her feet down on his feet, and she'd wash his feet and wash his hands, and then she'd want to drink the water that washed his feet and hands. She cherished him so much. And he went and he asked the Chachamim, am I allowed to let my mother do this to me? It's a terrible bezayin to my mother. And the answer that he got from the Rabbanim was yes. Because Ritzayne Shaladam Zeu Kvaydei. That's what your mother really truly wants. That's her covet. So you can imagine, you talk about covet, and it's unbelievable. It's limitless into different forms of covet. There's an Avestu Reb Nosson, I tried to find the Makor to read it to you inside. I couldn't find it. But there's an Avestu Reb Nosson that speaks about, it's a Mishnah, it speaks about a person who speaks a lot. He talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. Sounds like me. And he can't stop talking. And the Muslim Pirkei Avos says, you know what his Yetzer Hara is? His Yetzer Hara is not Bittel's man wasting time. And his Yetzer Hara is not that he's a Yenta. It's just that he wants to be heard. He wants some covet. He needs to be heard. That's what he needs. So give him a little covet and he'll close his mouth. There's so many different forms of covet. You have people who act like the most humble people because they know they'll get covet for it. Oh, he's an honor. Wow. It's unbelievable what covet is. There's Shiva Zatzal, Shmuel Birnbaum, used to say, what is covet? I'll say it to you in English. He said, what's covet? To say about an unlearned balabas by a great yeshiva dinner that he knows Gan's Shas? That's covet. It's a joke. Get up there. Oh, this person. Oh, you have $1 million to this. You don't have this. This person, he's a great man. And and you could say it about the biggest Amoratsim and people who have no Sheikhs to Torah and everything. And that's covet. You see how fake it is? And yet, it drives the world. Where money stops, covet begins. Covet is limitless. The wealthiest and the richest people who have nothing to do with the money. Oh, but they could still buy covet. I'm done buying the mansions. I'm done buying the vacations and cars and who knows what. Oh, but I could still buy covet. And that's what they do. When they stop pursuing money, they start pursuing covet. It's an unbelievable, powerful drive. Not fake. To make light of it and just say covet is all fake and it's nothing. You know, the same Rosh Hashiva that said this about covet by a dinner. On the other hand, I remember when Rav Steinman and the Ger Rebbe came to America and they made these big parades for them. He went over to one of the Talmidim in the Yeshiva and he says, no, it looks good. No, don't you want some covet? No, Steingeist, you'll get it too one day. The reality is that covet exists. You know the Chazal says that one should not look for kavod, one should run away from kavod. But in as much that we have a chiyuv to run away from it and try to avoid it ourselves, we have just as much, and probably even a greater chiyuv, to dole it out as much as possible to others. Ah, you're going to be machshel your friend? Don't worry. Nobody's going to tell you in Achnasas Archim and in Chesed, I don't want to give my guest such wonderful food. He might, you know, it's a taiva, it's a hara, it's inappropriate. Let me give him some dry toast, you know, and some water. We work on our precious and our own Yetzirah for ourselves. And when it comes to other people, the mitzvah is do as much for others as possible. We have to run away from kavod. And the mitzvah is to dole it out and give it out as much as possible. So I thought that perhaps kavod could be our next step in our development over here in Chesed. I don't know if anybody's been practicing the past two suggestions that we made. The first one was being able to place ourselves in the correct position and understanding people's tzaras. The second time we spoke about being masbir panim, a happy, kind, smiling face. I've tried it out. It's a great feeling. It's unbelievable to see people's responses. And I was thinking that perhaps the next thing, you know, you talk about chesed, people start worrying, oh yeah, chesed, it's going to cost me money. Chesed is going to cost me time. It's going to cost me effort. Here's another form of chesed similar to hasbaras panim, similar to a shiny, happy face that doesn't have to cost you anything. It doesn't have to cost you time, and it doesn't have to cost you money. Kavod? Kavod l'chayim means money. You got to spend money. You want to be mechabed somebody. The Gemara specifically says, kavod chachamim. The Gemara has a havamina. Yachael b'mamayin. I would think that the mitzvah of kavod chachamim should mean buy him an aliyah. Buy him a gift. Spend money on the Talmud Chacham. The Gemara, no. Kimay hider. Just like hider. Just like standing up for a moment when the Talmud Chacham goes by. Doesn't cost you any money. So too the kavod as mechayev you doesn't cost you any money. Sorry, I reversed the drasha. Just as standing up does not cost you money, so to hider, showing glory, showing honor, should not cost you money. As the Gemara says, kavod does not mean money. So the question is, what is kavod? And how can we express it? I'll share with you an unbelievable Raisa and Masechtas Kala. You guys come home with something unique. There's Masechtas Kala Rabasi Peri Gimel. There's no numbers on the Braises. I can't give you a Braise number. But it's basically in the middle of the Perik. If any of you want to look it up, it's an unbelievable little Braise over here. Braise says as follows. Heve ohev es ha teira umechabdo. One should love teira and respect it and honor it. Gemara. Here comes the Gemara on this braisa. Ehoiv Torah min Allah. And where do we know that one should love Torah? Look around in the Pesukim, the Torah doesn't say anywhere to love Torah. Love Torah? It's a nice thing. Where is it to love Torah? Ehoiv es Torah min Allah. Dechsiv es l'rabis es Torah. When the Pesuk says v'ahavta, es Hashem alekecha, you ever wonder what that S is for? V'ahavta es Hashem alekecha. The S is coming to say love Torah. Okay? So too we have the S by Kavod Es Avicha V'Esimecha is coming to include your father's wife, even if she's not your mother, your mother's husband, even if he's not your father, and your older brother, which we all know about. That's by Kavod Es Avicha V'Esimecha. And the Gemara continues and says, Maya Hava Umay Kavod. What is love and what is Kavod? Ahava, believe. The kavod b'maisi. In fact, the Gemara ubedvarim loy. Kavod is only in action and not in speech. V'atanya amedaber b'toyer b'talmid chacham is someone who degrades talmid chacham and b'toyer with speech. Ein lechelik leilam haba. Ema af bedvarim. Kavod is both in action and in speech. Whereas ahava is in the heart. And the question that everybody should be asking is,
We didn't bring down a pasuk that speaks about kavod for Torah. We only brought down v'ahavta es Hashem l'kav. Love Hashem. The S in v'ahavta is to love Torah. Very nice. Where did kavod come in? Who's anything about kavod? The Mishnah says you have to have kavod, but where's the pasuk for it? And we're distinctly making a difference over here. Ahava is in your heart. Kavod is in action. So where's it Mechayev Kavod? I'm very comfortable with saying I love Torah, and that's it. What does it mean to have Kavod for Torah? Where does it say that I have to have Kavod for Torah? I'm not talking about Tamid HaKham. Kavod for Tamid HaKham is a pasuk. Vada'at HaPnezach, you have to stand up and give them Kavod. So there's a Gemara in Kedushin that says as follows. We all know, and this is already this week's parasha, Kavod is Tamid HaVasimecha. Honor your father and your mother. Why by honoring your father and your mother does it put your father first? And why by the mitzvah of Yira, being in awe of your parents, does it put your mother first? Zok de Gemara. Because the Eibishter knows the natural tendency of people. That when it comes to fear, you're more naturally tending towards the fear of your father, to be in awe and respect of your father. Because he teaches you Torah. Ooh, and you gain a little awe from that. So therefore the Torah has to tell you they're equal. The Torah puts the mother first in the mitzvah of Yira. And when it comes to Kavod, the Torah knows that naturally speaking, everybody's going to be mechabed the mother more. Why are you going to be mechabed your mother for? Shemishadaltoi bedvarim, where the father uses sign language to teach you a lesson, the mother uses soft words. Mishadaltoi bedvarim, she encourages you and with warm speech. Mother's more encouraging. So therefore, a person has more of a natural tendency to be mechabed his mother than his father. So the Torah has to put the father first to equal the man. From here we see an interesting thing. From the mother's encouraging and warm words, I would not assume the response to be covered. The response, l'chayu, would be love. Not covered. Kavod, I could hear, goes to the father. He teaches you Torah. Who? Respect. So I believe putting this Gemara together with the Bryson Sechtes Kalo is teaching us an interesting Chiddush. When Chazal speak about Kavod, and I'm not talking about the loose expression that we all have for the word Kavod, but when Chazal precisely use the word Kavod, Kavod is an outward expression of love. That's what it is. When Chazal ask, what is kavod to your parents? Chazal speak about feeding them, clothing them, and escorting them in and out when they come in or go out somewhere. That's kavod. That's not honor. You love somebody and you know that they want something to eat. Of course you offer it to them. And you make sure it's the best food that you know that you could offer them. That's an expression of love. You want to be kind and giving and loving to the person. But love is in the heart. Its expression is what we call kavod. So truthfully speaking, if anybody wants to measure their ahavas Yisrael, nobody could say, I love every Jew. Pesach Gron had a Gevaldik Amaisi. He was in Yerushalayim once, and he met a Yid flying by with his long black coat and sitzes flying on one of those scooters. And it was Erev Shabbos. And the guy stopped by a red light, and Pesach Gron gave him a shalom, and he gave a shalom back, and he walked off his scooter and went over to Pesach Gron, and he said, God's a shalom aleichem. He said, what's your name? He said, Pesach Gron. Ah! Shalom aleichem, Pesach. Pesach says, you heard of me? You know, in America, you all heard of me. You know, you heard of me? He says, what heard of you? He says, V'gan noch a yid that I could love. Ah, I'm so happy to see a new yid that I could love. Ah, that's beautiful. Love can't stay in the heart. There's in the Geisha Welt, I don't know who it is, there's a chacham, psychologist, whatever it is, he came up with the expression, love is a verb. I know you can't keep love in the heart. So long as it's in the heart, it's a riot that it's not true love. Love has to be expressed. The way to express it is not what we call chibuk v'nishuk, hugging and kissing. The way to express love, that's in a marriage. The way to express love, ben adam l'chaveiro, is with kavod. By doing whatever it is, ezahu Kavod, l'tzaynei shaladam zeu kvaydei. What you know this person would appreciate, that is the greatest form of love. Do what you know he'd appreciate. That's kavod. It doesn't mean to stand up for him. If he doesn't need you to stand up for him, that's not kavod. Kavod is showing an expression of your love for him. I just saw a nice about Rabbeinu and Eibeshitz. Rabbeinu and Eibeshitz, he had a minig that he tried on Yom Kippur. He wanted to always daven next to a very erlichid, a broken-hearted, humble soul. So every Erev Yom Kippur, he'd look around by Mincha, when everybody's preparing Mincha and davening, he'd look around by Mincha, the Erev Yom Kippur, to try to locate who he is. Who's the guy that he would like to get a seat next to in shul? And throughout Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz would not sit by the Mizrach Vant. Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz would take a step down and sit amongst the crowd next to somebody that he felt, you know, he would gain from being around on Yom Kippur. So came one Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz looks around and, ah, oh, he found the guy. He found the guy. A few tables behind him, he heard the person crying at the end of the video of Erev Yom Kippur, when you say, "Offer ani b'chayei kavachomer b'misasi," I'm a piece of dust in my life and avada when I'm dead. And he heard the person repeating it a few times, so brokenheartedly, and crying and weeping. I'm offer, I'm nothing. And this is the one I'm looking for. This is the guy. And Taka came by time for Kol Nidre. Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz went and he parked himself next to this guy. No, the crowd saw who Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz picked to sit next to. You can imagine the next day, the gabbai kept his eye open, who to give an aliyah to. And he gave Kayin and Shani and Shlishi, huh? And he made sure to give an aliyah to this old man. The old man gets up, and everybody noticed as the guy's getting up to the bima, his face starts turning flush, colors, and his veins started popping out. And by the time the guy got to the bima, he was screaming. And he's screaming at the guy, "Vos heist! Du gebst jenem an aliyah fal mir! You're giving him an aliyah before me!" What are you? And he's ranting and raving. And the Yiddish and Eibeshitz turns white. He goes, "How do you get fouled? This is the guy I picked to sit next to." Finally, the guy goes, he gets his aliyah, he comes back down, and the Yiddish and Eibeshitz turns in. And he opens up the siddur. He doesn't say anything to the guy. He just opens up to the siddur, to the words, and he says, you know, he points, you know, "Offer ani b'chayei. I'm just a piece of dirt. You know, you said it so nicely yesterday." And the guy understood without Rabbi Yonis saying anything. He said, "Ha ha, das ist klappi de schiene. Next to God, I'm up, I'm against him." Kavod. Even a guy who thinks that he's offer, he puts himself down by God, but he'd love kavod from you. I guarantee it. Nobody's going to turn it down. Everybody's open for kavod. You have to be a grace of Hashem not to like it. Everybody likes it. The question is, how many people run away from it? But to mamish not like it, it's very, very real. Like a mamish, I can almost guarantee it, anybody you give the kavod to, as long as it's targeted properly, nobody will mind. But the Vardis Taka to target it properly. It has to be customized. And that's exactly what kavod is. Kavod is attributing individualized value to someone. The reason why we don't feel so respectful to others is for one of two reasons. Mishnah says, "Ezu mechubad amechaber sabris." Who's respectful? Someone who respects others. You can't respect others if you don't have your own self-respect. Why wouldn't somebody have his own self-respect? Because he doesn't see himself as an individual. He's constantly measuring himself against others. He's constantly worried about the peer pressure. He's constantly worrying, who am I? What am I worth? Relative to everyone around him. When someone has his own self-worth, and he has his own self-identity, and recognizes his own self-respect, then he's able to give kavod to others. A self-respectful person, it's possible to give respect to others. You can't give what you don't have. So either we don't have self-respect, and that's why we don't give it to others. What is a different cheshbon? We have a bloated self-respect. To the extent that we look at everybody around us as being useful pawns in my life. And that's probably the more applicable problem for all of us. That we look at everybody around us as being the people that can service and enhance my life. Everybody's just another number, and nobody's individualized, and mainly you can't be mechabed other people because nobody stands out from the rest. So just to end off, it's late. Kavod can't be in the heart. It has to be an expression of love. Which means you have to be able to look at another individual and say, what can I appreciate about this person? And kavod then will be, you appreciate this person, you give them value, you'll be able to be more in tune to what that person wants and needs. If it's your wife, she might just need you to listen to her tell you about her tzaras. And if it's your boss, you may have to give him a little flattery. If it's somebody else, it might be taka to offer him a cheer when he comes in. There are many different forms of kavod. It's extremely varied. But the only way that you can really chap on and target it correctly is when in your own heart you develop a love and an individual appreciation of that person. When you select this person as an individual, instead of just being one out of a sea of people, you make him an individual, you're able to be in tune with what he would want and what you could offer him. And you have to go out there then and express that love. Somebody just told me, you know why lawyers are buried 12 feet underground? Because deep down they're very good people. We can't just be good people deep down. We have to express it. We have to express it all the time. And being that it's very varied, and what we're trying to do over here is make Yonam ben Adam l'chaveiro in Chesed more practical. I'd like to give a suggestion which Rav Shlomo Volba recommends in his sefer, the Ali Shor, when he speaks about giving kavod to others. And that is, you can't give any specific guideline to kavod because it's so varied. But what you could do is, you know Shmiras HaLashon? Everybody knows Shmiras HaLashon, you know, they always have these maximum fees, take a half an hour that day and don't say any Lashon Hara. Select 10 minutes of your day for the next week or two. 10 minutes. And those 10 minutes dedicated that whoever's around you, in those 10 minutes, you are going to focus on their value. You can appreciate their chashivas and do things in a respectful manner for them. 10 minutes. Don't pick it at a time when you have 20 people around you. Do it at a time when you maybe have two or three people around you. In your office, it's a quiet time in your office, two or three people around you. Those 10 minutes, he needed a paper clip, he needed a, you know, I think he could use, you know, a cup of coffee. In those 10 minutes, focus on what you think they could appreciate and that you could do for them. 10 minutes. And with that, hopefully we'll all be mekayim what it says in the Sefer Reishis Chochma, Shar HaGehenim. That the first thing, okay, or one of the first things, when we come up to Shemayim, the Eibishter, the Bezim Shemayla says, Himlachta es chavercha. Have you made your friend king? With that, we should all be zeicha to Givaldi Gemaylis, and Kabbalah Soter.